let's turn in our Bibles. We have a couple places we're going to turn to right quick. There's another one. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 gives us a little insight. A lot of people don't know much about our God. In our world, there's a lot of confusion. I mean, you turn the news on the TV and you see where people are confused about their gender. I mean, you see people that, there's a young lady now in Spokane, Washington, a white woman who's the head of the Spokane chapter of the NAACP.
That's a national.
And it's just kind of crazy. Our world's gone nuts over some things that are pretty simple, and what it leads to is confusion. But here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I want to point you to verse 33. That's going to be our context, our text today, and we're going to stay with that theme right there in verse 33. It says, For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. But I want to focus on the concept that God is not the author of confusion. The main thing that we see in God is that He has order. He does things in order. He always does things in order. And I want to focus, let's turn over to Leviticus. Leviticus is the third book in the Bible, right after Exodus. I want to go to Leviticus chapter 1, because there's the difference between our God and the God of this world tells us who's in charge as far as the way people are following. I know this is kind of maybe strange place to go, but I want you to look, and it says, it talks about how God told the Jews to offer sacrifices. And it says, verse 7 in Leviticus chapter 1, it says, "And the sons of Aaron the priests shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order." Also, there in that same chapter we started with, it said, verse 40 says, "Let all things be done decently and in order." The difference between our God and the devil is our God does things in order. He sets things in order. He tells us right from wrong. He gives us clear instructions on how things should be and how things should not be. And we see these things in the Word of God, and we see that there's a God in heaven, and if He does things in order, why is there so much confusion and chaos in our world today? And there's a lot of people in our world today that have no concept at all about how to do things in order. And if you don't get things straight in your mind as far as what's right, what's wrong, good or bad, you're going to have problems from day one. Every decision you need, you have to make, based on either what's right or wrong, what's best. Obviously, there are people that made the right decision by coming to church this morning. There are other people that made the wrong decision by staying home. I know there are some people that are working. I know there are some people that are sick, not being able to be here. But there's a total different concept there in not wanting to be here versus wanting to be here. And I tell people this a lot. There's a lot of people that go to church and don't want to be there. And the bad thing is, in heaven, they're not getting credit for it. Those that want to be here and can't be here, I can think of a number of them that are in the hospital and dealing with health issues that are out today, and they would rather be here. than where they are. And you know what? In heaven, they get credit for being here, even though they're not here, because that's here's where their heart is. But God has an order for us to do right, to follow His instructions. And we're going to go to a strange place, maybe, according to this. But turn over to Exodus chapter 20. A lot of people might not like this, might not... Chapter 20 of Exodus. Here's where you find the first listing of the Ten Commandments. And when you see the Ten Commandments, you realize that there are some things that our world has all got mixed up on. Let's stand in honor of the Word of God. I'm going to read a few verses here, and this will be our main theme right here, our main study. Starting with Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not take unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountains smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us an opportunity to serve you and to love you. Lord, I count it more than a privilege to have a copy of your word. The word of God that doesn't need to be changed or rewritten, doesn't need to be edited or even commented on a whole lot. It says what it means and means what it says. And Lord, we just thank you for a book that we can take and we can use to know right from wrong. And Lord, this world is in confusion because it's avoiding your book. It's avoiding you and your laws. Lord, I pray for you to meet with us today. Let the name of Jesus receive glory and honor and praise. And please don't let the preacher get in the way of your message. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I think about this, and a lot of times people, we call these the Ten Commandments, but I want you to think of what takes place in an army. An army has they have a hierarchy. They have generals, they have lieutenants, they have colonels, they have right on down the line, and you've got the structure, but when your commander tells you something, they don't call it a commandment, they call it an order. And when we go to the restaurant, the waitress comes and gets our order. What if when you order, say, chicken parmesan, they bring you eggplant parmesan? Is that what you've got ordered? No. They're not obeying your order. They're not giving you what you asked for. But remember something. There's a God in heaven that orders us to follow His laws. These commandments are not suggestions. They are orders from our commander-in-chief. So we could easily change the word and not change the context or the meaning by calling these Ten Commandments the Ten Orders. And what's going on in our world today is we've got people that have no clue. We're going to go through some of these Ten Commandments today, and we're going to focus on them because there's some things that we see around us that people have just so far gone off the cliff with, and they don't have any clue about what's right or wrong, good or bad. They just think, hey, that's good for you, this is good for me. We can differ in opinions, but guess what? We see chaos around us. We see people like Bruce Caitlin Jenner. When he was born, and the nurse presented him to his mother, it didn't say, well, this is a boy that's one day going to be a girl. Here's your new son, man. And I'll tell you something. We've got a world that's all messed up because we think what we want is as qualified and as right as what God wants. And He made us. He gave us right from wrong. We can go our own way, but woe be unto us when we do, because there are curses that go along with those consequences. We go that wrong way, and God's not going to bless us. There are curses that are attached. But look at what it says here. It says, the first commandment, starting with verse 2, it says, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. God's explaining to them, I'm the one that brought you out of bondage. I have the right to tell you what to do. And I'm going to tell you, the bottom line is, those of us that are saved, God has a right to tell us what to do. I was brought out of the bondage of sin. I was brought out of the bondage of my penalty taking me to the lake of fire one day. And He paid my price. He bought me. He brought me out. And the key is, He has a right to tell me what to do. People don't like that. I'm an old man. We live in America. America is the land of the free and the brave, and I'm going to live any old way I want to. Hey, that's fine. You can do that. As long as it's within the confines of law, man's laws. Otherwise, you might end up in the confines of a jail cell. But the key is, we have to do things God's way, and the same thing goes with, as long as we live in the confines of God's laws, or we may find ourselves in the confines of His jail cell. Those curses that come on us. But verse 3 says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. America is so, so far away from that truth. We're getting any god and every god is as good as or better than the Creator God. And I'm going to tell you, it's killing our country. You want to talk about confusion? Go into the schools and ask the kids what they're being taught. They're being taught that homosexuality is an alternate lifestyle. They're teaching them that two moms is as good as two dads, except for or two moms or two dads is as good as a mom and a dad. The problem with that is two moms can't have a baby. Two dads can't have a baby. But how do you explain that? Two moms apparently isn't as good as a mom and a dad. And it's confusing because a child needs a father, a child needs a mother to teach them right. The boys that don't have a father at home are going to pay a price because there's no strength, no leadership in that home to teach them how to be the man that God wants them to be. To lead the home. To be the head of the household. But we're accepting all gods. It doesn't matter. You throw it out there. Allah, Buddha, Confucius, Darwin, all these false gods out there. Besides the fact that we make gods out of our phones, out of the internet, out of our sports, out of our hobbies, out of any addiction that you have, alcohol, drugs, sex, whatever it is, that can become your god. Anything that takes the place of the Lord God of heaven in your life has become your god. And what happens is, God is a god of order. Satan is the god of confusion and chaos. And when you see decisions being made around us that have no consistent direction, they say, "Well, this is fine for you, and this is fine for me, and this is okay for them," and that's crazy. There's a reason these restrooms out here say men and ladies. Okay, there's a reason that's on there. And if you can't figure that out, you've got a big problem. Because I don't want any women in my restroom, and I'm not going in the ladies' restroom. I don't want any men in my daughter's restroom. I don't want any ladies in my son's restroom. Well, let's put it this way. There won't be any ladies in a men's restroom. Because there, ladies and women is two different things. And that's another subject for another time. But the bottom line is we see strange things taking place. Look at what it says in verse 4. It says, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them." Can you imagine somebody silly enough to bow down to a statue? To kiss the feet or kiss the hand or whatever of a statue that couldn't even make itself, couldn't even move its arms, can't talk to you? That's the height of stupidity. Well, close. Flying planes into buildings thinking you're going to heaven is probably the height of stupidity. But the key is, can you imagine somebody silly enough to bow down to a statue? That statue can't help you. In fact, it's going to hurt you because the Bible says there's a demon behind those false gods. There's a devil back there. And you're bowing yourself down to a false god, another god. Which breaks that first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And it says, "For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God." I want you to think about something. One of the things that made Jesus angry and it made the Holy Spirit angry was the fact that the Pharisees were attributing the fact that Jesus was doing these mighty works, raising Lazarus from the dead, healing the blind, healing the cripples and the lepers, and they were attributing all these miracles that Jesus did to Satan. They said he casts out devils in the name of the devil. Now think about this. This is God talking. He says, "I am a jealous God." If your child come up to you and said, Well, I got a new car. And you gave it to them, but they claimed that somebody else gave it to them. That'd make you mad. Make you want to take it away from them. When God does something for you and I, He just wants credit for what He does. And since there's every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from Him, everything good that comes our way, we need to give Him credit for and praise Him for it and thank Him for it. That's all that means. That means He wants the credit that's due Him. And since He's worthy of all praise and all honor and all glory, we better not give it to anybody else. Verse 3 says, the third commandment, verse 7 says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." I want you to think about that. That's not just talking about using the name of Jesus or using the name of God in a cursing fashion. Although that is very, very upsetting and offending to him. But this is simply talking about people that go to church. Hey, I praise Jesus when I go to church, but then I go home and I can take my drugs. I can live an immoral life. I can do all kinds of wicked things. I can steal from my company. I can do this and that. Hey, you tell people you're a Christian and you don't try to live like it, you are taking the Lord's name in vain. You're taking the name of Christ in vain. And we see that happening all over our country. Somebody told me yesterday they were dealing with a church. They were helping with a church, and the church had some things in that church, and they ended up with those things being locked up. That person could not get hold of the things that she had put in the church. And she was supposed to be able to have access to it to make those donations to others. And they were stolen from her. So she couldn't do what she had promised to do with them. You think God's happy with a group like that? Probably they meet on Sunday morning, maybe Sunday night, Wednesday night, whenever they meet. Guess what? The Holy Spirit's not there. Jesus don't hear their prayers. He's not going to hear my prayers. He's not going to hear your prayers if we don't do things His way. If we don't try to please Him. He's a jealous God, and He wants us to do things His way and honor His name. Not curse with His name or bring a curse on His name. Number 8, verse 8. This is the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. And it talks about the 6 days that God used to make heaven and earth. Look at verse 11. It says, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested on the seventh," rested the seventh day. "Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it." I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail there, but there's a lot of people that don't understand that. They think we're still supposed to be meeting on Saturday. Saturday is the Sabbath. In fact, in Spanish, Saturday is still called Sábado. But Saturday is not the Christian Sabbath. The Bible says in Revelation 1:10, it talks about the fact that John was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day is different than the Sabbath. The Lord's Day is the day that Jesus rose from the grave on the first day of the week, and that's why we meet on Sunday instead of on Saturday. I still set aside Sunday for the Lord. It's His day. That's what the Bible says. Commandment number 5, verse 12 says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. We see where our country's going wrong in the fact that children are being taught to disobey parents, disrespect parents. And I'm going to tell you something, that's bringing a curse on them that they don't have a clue about how great that curse is. Because it says that thy days may be long. You know that young people, a lot of young people die early because they violate this simple commandment. They say, well, they never were taught it. Hey, if they got access to a Bible or access to a church or ever been in a church and been taught the Ten Commandments, they're not going to be held guiltless. But parents are not able to discipline their children, and that's the way the devil wants it. What's that create? Chaos. Spending all the time I did with the juveniles in the jails, preaching in there, and we saw a lot of young people that just wanted, you explain to them God's blessings and God's curses and the fact that he wrote them down in the book, and if we just follow the book, we can avoid a lot of issues, a lot of struggles and battles that will come our way. But no, some of them never even had a Bible. That's an awful shame for those that have never had a Bible. Commandment number 6, verse 13. Thou shalt not kill. Now, this is not talking about killing a guilty person. If we go to Numbers chapter 35, God explains what takes place there. Numbers 35, verse 33 tells us, it says, So ye shall not pollute the land wherein ye are, for blood it defileth the land, and the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it. The reason murderers in the history of America and in the history of the world have been executed is because it brings a curse on the land. Until there, and that curse is valid, it's effective today until that murderer is killed. One of the most foolish, ridiculous sentences in our country is he's been sentenced to death. That means you're going to live until you die of an old age. You might live in prison the rest of your life, but the bottom line is our country doesn't execute criminals anymore. The commandment's not talking about executing guilty people. What I want you to think about is the fact that our country, in a couple weeks, we're going to have Life Change Sunday. Our country stands guilty before God for two things. Number one, we let the guilty live while we execute the innocent. The innocent little babies that have never even drawn a breath. And our country has executed them. More than 50, probably 60 million in the last 50 years or so. What is it? Thou shalt not kill. But you're going to get in more trouble over squashing a sea turtle egg than you will for having an abortion. You want to talk about chaos? You want to talk about confusion? Isaiah chapter 5 tells us that one day, mankind was going to make decisions to where good was evil and evil was good. And we're there. We're seeing it take place in our world today. Commandment number 7, verse 14, thou shalt not commit adultery. I want to tell you something. The Bible tells us about a day coming when people are going to forbid to marry. And that's where we are. They'll shack up. They'll live with this one for a month or that for a few months or maybe a year or two. Move from one to the other. Breeding like animals. And you want to talk about children that are so confused. Go into some of these homes and hear the stories of the children that don't know who their daddy is. And got a different boyfriend. Mom's got a different boyfriend coming in every week or every month or whatever. And they've got more stepdaddies or ex-stepdaddies than they've got pairs of underwear. You want to talk about confusion? But I'm going to tell you something. That's the fingerprints of Satan. Confusion is his hand working in our world. And the closer we get to him and following his ways, and the farther we get away from God and his book and following the Lord Jesus Christ, we ain't seen nothing yet. And it doesn't matter whether you've been married or not, or are married or not. Commit adultery has to do with fornication as well as adultery. Children are committing fornication like crazy. Never been married. They think, well, I don't have to worry about it. But I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing more special to God than a man and a woman doing things his way. God wants it done his way. He'll bless it when it's done his way. If you don't want to do it his way, count on paying the price, and it's going to be a hefty price. A price you don't want to pay. If you could see the price before you made the decision, you wouldn't make the decision. Commandment number 8, verse 15. This is one that we need to put up on Congress walls. Thou shalt not steal. I'm going to go there a little bit. I'll make some people mad. I've done that before. But the truth does make people mad sometimes. Social Security was designed for people that paid into the system to draw out of the system. Thieves are taking out of the system, and I'm not blaming the people that are getting approved. They should not be approved if they haven't put anything into the system. Our government makes it possible for people to take out of the Social Security that never put it in. Now, I'm saying that to say this. How would you like for you to go to the bank one day and say, okay, I need $100 out of my bank account. And they tell you, well, I'm sorry, sir, but there's no money in your account. What do you mean there's no money in my account? Well, somebody else needed some money, so we gave it to them. Excuse me, that's my money. You don't have permission to take my money and give it to someone else. But that's what's going on in our country. My Bible tells me, thou shalt not steal. And there's a bunch of thieves up there in Washington and in Tallahassee and in state capitals taking money that doesn't belong to them, giving it to people that haven't put any money into the system. And they're doing it for a reason. They're trying to destroy our country. You want to talk about confusion? Somebody that thinks that that's right is really confused. Or even acceptable. Borderline on treason to take money out of the government coffers and give it to people that are not citizens. We'll move on from that. I can feel my blood pumping real good now. Commandment number 9. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. You know, there are people that'll lie and for no apparent reason. But God says that's one of the Big Ten. That's one of His orders. That's an order that He tells us, do not lie. But we got liars. Hey, we're in the campaign season. You can't count them all. I can't count them all from the last time around. The ones that haven't been fulfilled, that never were intended on being fulfilled, and promises kept. Number 10, thou shalt not covet. Now, I'm not going to go in through the list. The word, you can just stop there. Thou shalt not covet. Covet means I want what you've got. Lusting after things that somebody else has. Doesn't matter. It could be a person, a wife. It could be what they have, their car, their home, or their bank account, or their rings, or whatever it is. You could covet, and that's what our country's all about. You watch a commercial on TV. You think what they're, a lot of people, they watch football games, but they don't care nothing about football. Probably couldn't tell you who won at the end of the game. They're just there watching the cheerleaders. Because they're lusting. They're coveting. And I'm going to tell you something. That's a danger. It's an addiction. It'll pull you away from God. And it'll get you all messed up. And you won't be good for God or anybody. See, God's a God of order. One more place. Let's go there. 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings is about halfway to between Genesis and Psalms. We talk about Elijah. We talk about all the things that Elijah did.
What chapter?
1 Kings chapter 18. We talk about what Elijah did and all the things that he did and how he defeated, how God sent the fire from heaven. But Elijah knew something that we a lot of times don't know or don't think about sometimes. Look at what it says in verse 30. It says, now this is after the false prophets, the Baal's prophets, were unable to get Baal to answer. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner. That was no order. That means that they were doing it in a crazy fashion, trying to get the attention of their false god. But look at what it says in verse 30. It says, and Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. Look at verse 33. And he put the wood in order. You wonder why things go wrong in our lives a lot of times? It's because we got them out of order. And the main order is to make sure that the Lord is in charge. Make sure that we're following His book. Make sure that He is calling the shots. And when we follow Him and do things His way and follow His orders, God will bless us. You won't have to worry about the psychos out there that can't figure out what gender they are, or what race they are, or I mean, the one girl, she's white and she claims to be black. And what's next? A human claiming to be a dog? Or maybe they claim to be a tree?
Or a cat claim to be a human.
Yeah.
Like mine.
And the key is, we've got to remember that our world's going crazy because they're getting away from God's book. Getting away from God's ways. The most important thing for us is to follow the book. To do things God's way. Even when you don't understand it. Trust Him. Trust Him. You won't regret following Him. Heavenly Father, we thank You for loving us. And Lord, I pray for You to watch over us. Move the invitation as You see fit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.